Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Chris Buccanani. Chris, how was your weekend?
It was very nice, Jim. As probably a lot of the listeners may be aware, it was Penn State Football Media Day this past weekend, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there. I do like going to that. That's a fun event, and I don't take for granted the fact that I get to attend events like that, and it's a cool thing, but I couldn't be there, so I caught up via the YouTube, as probably a lot of the folks in the audience have already done on the press conferences and everything, and had to resist the urge to micromanage all the details of Mike the Mailman, and shout out to Brady, our intern videographer, who stepped up big time and helped Mike get all his segment done while I and several of our other normal staff folks were unavailable. So yeah, it was good. I had a good weekend, and I hope you did too.
Well, I did. I had a family reunion, Italian side of the family. So, as you can imagine, there was a lot of eating going on.
Yeah, you ate well, I'm sure.
We ate very well. And, Chris, one thing to point out in these kind of situations, I am not too proud to take leftovers home and eat well for the rest of the week.
As you should be.
I'm very strategic about those things, Chris. So, anyway, glad you had a good weekend. I did also. Meanwhile, the Penn State staff, they were out there, James Franklin, the coordinators, taking on questions. First, just a general question, because I go back and forth on this. How do you see that, like, when James Franklin and any of the coaches meet the media, take on questions, I get torn between, is there anything more worthless than asking questions of a coach? You get non-answers, you get coach speak. You get told what they want you to hear.
Sure.
Or, you know, there are times I actually say, you know what, James Franklin could be amazingly candid at times, I believe. Sometimes you got to read the tea leaves a little bit, but there's also messages there. What do you take away from his press conferences?
Yeah, I think everything you said is true, and certainly it's also true that there's a little bit of a dance that goes on here, where especially in the modern media climate, there's just a constant demand for new content. So part of this whole process is that the coaches agree, okay, I will come out. Most of my answers are going to be evasive and contain little to no substance, but I'm going to give you something that you can share and talk about for the days in between games. Like, it's just the dance. It's the hashtag content dance, and we're all participating in it. But I do think there's an element, as you've talked about, of panning for gold as well, where you're going to sift through a lot of silt, but there are going to be some gold nuggets in there. And I think James is actually very strategic. In fact, I think he almost takes a little bit of fun out of dropping little nuggets in there and seeing if the collective press are going to be perceptive enough to pick them up. And, you know, I have always just been happy to consume as much Penn State football as I can get. And so I've been watching Paterno's press conferences for years and years and years, and right up through O'Brien and Franklin. So I love trying to read the tea leaves and see if I can figure out where the little gold flakes are hidden among all the dirt and mud.
You can. Exactly. Well, there's a couple things that I use to try to interpret things that are said. One of my favorite things, I think, is when a player's hometown media member asks about a specific player, like, you know, Joe Backup.
Yep.
You know, tell me about Joe Backup, who has zero chance of getting any playing time. Well, there's no way Franklin's going to be negative about a kid. So it's like, he works hard, he shows up every day, he's a leader, you know, So this guy could write a headline about, you know, Joe hometown backup, and other places pick it up. And it's like, wow, James Franklin talked about Joe backup. Well, the only reason why he talked about Joe backup was because he was asked specifically about him. So I think one of the important things is to see where he brings up a name. James Franklin brings up a name. who's not part of the question.
Yes.
Because that to me is where he's delivering a message. So we'll get to some of the details, but I'd be remiss not to bring it up. Probably the biggest story is a couple of players. First, they use that terrible, what they call it, interim suspension, something like to that effect. And now it's they're off the team, not enrolled. So we all know it was a serious transgression. What's your takeaway on how James handles those kind of discipline situations? And as cold as it may seem, what effect did this have on the team, specifically those players at that position?
Yeah, I think overall, James has done a commendable job of recruiting good people to the program, especially since we've gotten into the NIL era here where we've been able to do the Blue and White Players Show in the fall. So I really get more direct interaction, not just on the air, but kind of informally in between commercial breaks and before and after we tape to talk to these guys. There are a lot of really good kids. It's the type of person you can say, hey, if I'm a Penn State alum who is also a football fan, I'm going to be proud that these people will represent Penn State and Penn State football, not just while they're in the program, but when they go out into the world. That said, I think it's also true that when you got a room full of 100 people, math tells you that a few of them are going to be a word I'm not allowed to say because this airs on the radio, and that's just unavoidable. And you can be the best teacher and you can be the best judge of character, and most times you can hit, occasionally you're going to miss. And sometimes, you know, people just, even good people go bad or they make bad choices. So to the extent that anybody can take one incident and say, oh, this reflects poorly on James Franklin or his leadership of the program, I don't think that's a fair criticism at all. And I think if you look at the body of evidence overall, there have been way, way more on the good side of it. There's been way more on the good side of the ledger than the bad.
I think so too. And the discipline, the off the team, that was the way to do it. And I think for these college coaches, what they haven't learned is you're a parent, Chris. You have children. You got to set boundaries. And if you let them get away with things, they will continue to get away with things.
Sure.
Landon and I have talked several times about the Georgia program where a little over a year and a half ago, they had the incident racing on the streets, a member of the athletic department got killed in the incident.
Yep.
Since that time, in the year and a half, they've had over 20 driving incidents. And I will still put it on that you've got to take care of it the first time, even if it means over punishing, to keep it from happening more often.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. On that note, I will say, I guess I'm personally a little disappointed that it doesn't seem like there's going to be any disciplinary action for Abdul Carter. I don't want to get too far down on that road because we're talking media day stuff here, but just in general, my way of following Penn State football, the way I am a college football fan, this ancillary stuff is important to me. You know, are we graduating the players? Are we bringing in good human beings? Are we developing these young men when they're on campus? And are we using this the way Joe always thought about it as a laboratory environment to teach life skills, right? Because that's what a college is supposed to be about. Now, on the other hand, I understand the way the sport is trending is that this really isn't, in my opinion, college football anymore. This is the university operating a semi-professional or just a professional football team as a business enterprise in the same way that they used to operate the Nittany Lion Inn and the Penn Stater. You know, there's nothing in the university's mission that says you should be running hotels. For a while, it made sense to have as an adjunct operation to run hotels. Well, now we're running a professional football team, basically, and it's going to continue to trend in that direction. But to the extent that the vestiges of college football and what it started out as are still present in the system, that stuff's important to me. And it does. I feel a little let down that no matter what you think of what Abdul did or you know, whether or not you think there's a little bit of vigilante justice, you know, Batman action going on there. I think there needed to be some kind of a punishment. If for no other reason, Jim, than what you talked about, is once you let one of these things slip through the cracks, the crack can start widening as a result. So I, you know, since we're talking player discipline, I think this situation seems to be had to have been handled about as well as it could have. I think maybe as far as what we know, there was a suboptimal handling of the Abdul Carter situation. I don't view them as linked in any way other than player discipline comes in both situations. And then, yeah, as you brought up, there are some legitimate depth issues with losing a linebacker in Keys, who you were hoping to be part of the rotation. And I think for sure in losing Jameel Lyons, who is a really promising young pass rusher.
Yeah, it does affect the team. It seems frivolous to talk about that considering the transgressions, but it is.
Nevertheless, that's where I feel most qualified to talk about it, right? And this is a Penn State football show. That's what people come here to hear us talk about Penn State football. And to me, when you look at James really talked up Amin Vanover in his press conference. And so you think of Vanover as a guy who is first man off the bench behind Abdul Carter and Deni Dennis Sutton, when both of those guys are playing with their hand in the dirt, they've alluded to the fact that they are going to let Abdul maybe roam around in the defensive scheme from week to week because he's got the experience at linebacker. But to me, to lose a guy like Lyons, who looked like he was about to really come into his own as a pass rusher, that probably, Jim, I think restricts the flexibility they're going to have with Carter, because you shorten that rotation by one big impact piece. That probably means you're going to have Carter on the defensive line a lot more, wouldn't you think?
Oh, definitely. And you hate to put it this way, but I will. By shortening that rotation, boy, an injury really changes things so much more than it would have been previously. When you
Here's
were talking
what I like to remind
how much depth we
that.
Have.
Yeah, I know we love to do depth, and it's important. I like defensive line rotation. The one thing I have told some friends this week as I've been asked about it is I said, just remember, everyone, the 2005 team fielded one of the best defenses in program history and basically started the same four guys practically every snap of the season. And the first defensive lineman off the bench in the rotation that year was A.Q. Shipley.
An amazing fact. All right, Chris. We went through all the general situations, the unfortunate suspensions. When we come back, let's get into the specifics of Media Day. We'll do that as soon as we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris Buccanani. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number two of our show. Chris, I have specific questions. I have my highlights, but before I get to those, was there a highlight for you? What's the headline from Media Day?
We were joking before in the first segment about panning for gold and how much nonsense you get in these Media Days. I it sounds mean to say that I thought this one was particularly nonsense heavy. So let's say I thought it was notably substance free. How's that?
I agree. So let me do my panning for gold and sure. See how you respond to it. He was asked, James Franklin was asked pretty early on about Julian Fleming, and the praise for him during this all season has been, you know, tremendous. Leadership, changed his body, got quicker, more athletic, he's healthy, all of those things. James Franklin was asked about Julian Fleming. The word he used was solid. Is that the word we wanted to hear when you're asked directly about Julian Fleming? Solid? What does that mean?
Again, we're probably overanalyzing, but you work with what you can get, right? I also thought the response to the receiver question was notably guarded and underwhelming. On the other hand, over the years, James has learned the same lesson I think I learned about talking up the offensive line, which is just keep your mouth shut until you see them on the field. And I think he's acutely aware of the deficiencies in the receiving corps and how much scrutiny there's going to be there. And I do wonder whether there's just a reluctance to overpromise and under the deliver there as well. So I think that's – I don't want to get too worked up about it, especially when you keep in mind that they do media day very early. And so you're talking to the coaches about what are you seeing in practice. So far, they've only run two practices, and they haven't even had the pads on at the point they're meeting with the press. So they didn't put the pads on until after media day this weekend. So there's also the point that you just really haven't seen too much from these guys at this point.
You of course, are correct. But in our task to undermine some nuggets of gold or get some messages. And when I hear that, it seemed so out of place, I started to be concerned. Now, I've been a Julian Fleming enthusiast. I'm hoping that I've heard things about he's taking over the room as far as leadership, that type of thing. I wanted to hear more than just the word solid in the description of him, especially when specifically asked about him.
I wasn't shocked, Jim, because I've believed all along it's just unreasonable to imagine that that room is going to go from where it was last year, which was easily the most underperforming unit on the team. And if we're being honest with ourselves, probably one of the worst receiving corps from just a performance standpoint, because the talent is there, but what do you do with it, that I've seen at Penn State ever, really, going back to the early 2000s. I'm not going to name drop guys who were part of the 2003 and 2004 offense, but that wide receiver group was pretty thin. This is the worst last season that I've seen since that group. And frankly, just a befuddling lack of game-changing talent for a top 15 FBS program. So I think it's reasonable to temper your expectations about just how big of a jump can they make from where they were last year to where they are this season. They are not going to go from where they were to all of a sudden we got Derek Williams, Deion Butler, and Jordan Norwood on the field this year. And if it's going to happen, going back to those guys and how they came into the program, maybe it's a kid like Tessier Denmark who wasn't in the room last year and forces his way into the conversation.
Fingers crossed on that, Chris. You had alluded to this earlier, the conversation about defensive ends, and he was asked pretty much about who's going to step up. Unspoken was, okay, you lost Jamel Lyon, someone who it sounded like they were thinking was ready to take that next step.
I was really excited about that kid for this season.
Yeah, he seemed like he was next in line.
Yep.
You know, it was a year ago. It was Denai Dennis Sutton, who you knew was going to take the step up, feel that way. So that's the way we were feeling about Jamel Lyons. So now it becomes, and it probably gets a little less exciting when you're talking about the rotation. It's the veterans. He mentioned Amin Vanover and Smith Vilbert. But it was also interesting that I'm ready to say true freshman, but I'll call him the high school senior.
Yeah. Okay?
Granville, who for those who don't know, he was going to be a member of the class of 25. He was a recruit, a commitment for the class of 25. And James Franklin verified it was pretty very late in the game where he said, you know what, I could get enough high school credits here during the summer that I could enroll this year, a year early, where I often talk about the high school seniors who enroll in January when they should be worried about the prom and they're already on campus. Here you have a kid who should be preparing for his last year of high school football, and he's now on the collegiate practice field, And James Franklin was pretty effusive in his praise for the kid. Those are the things that stick out to me. Did that surprise you at all, that a kid who's been on campus for about 25 minutes and James Franklin's already pointing him out?
It didn't surprise me too much, in part because I assumed that when they moved heaven and earth to get that done, because as you talked about, it was a pretty tight timetable, and both Tom Allen and James Franklin confirmed that in their press conferences, I believed there must be something there. They must really think that this is potentially a guy who could, if things fall right for him, contribute to the team this year, whether it's just within those four games that you can play as a freshman and not burn your red shirt and then getting into postseason play, or maybe even a more significant role because now all of a sudden you're in a situation where your defensive end rotation has changed a little bit. So no, it didn't shock me too much. Like I said, I didn't get a chance to go to media day personally. I was at the open practice they had, or the media available practice time earlier in the week. And you saw Granville, and I mean, just from a size perspective, he looks like he's ready to go out there on the field with Big Ten athletes right now. So yeah, I don't expect him to be a huge impact guy, but I do expect to see him play. And it won't shock me if he has a good camp. If you see him getting snaps early, even if it's in the second half of like the Bowling Green and the Kent State game, I think to me that's indicative that they're ready to move on and not redshirt the guy. Because if they're playing him that early, that probably means they expect to use him throughout the season. And just, you brought up Smith Milbert, just a really interesting name. That guy feels like he's been part of the program forever. And apparently, I guess he just worked through some academic things or something, so he wasn't playing for a year. He's had some injuries. But he, once upon a time, was the next big thing because he had three sacks against Arkansas in the bowl game. And then, you know, one thing after another, circumstances have kept him off the field. But if they can get anything at this point, Jim, from Smith Milbert, that's like the equivalent of found money for that defense. Again, especially because they're going to need some more edge guys to step up.
And sometimes it's just a matter of needing the opportunity, and one player leaving the program could lead to Smith Milbert getting that opportunity.
And they've been patient with him, and they've kept him in the fold through a lot. So they must think like he has something that he can contribute to the team. Or otherwise, I think there would have been one of those tough conversations about, hey, maybe it's time to look at the portal or look at moving on to the next phase of your career.
And that's the where you have to dig a little bit, read the tea leaves, and get that message. I'm curious. I've always liked Amin Vanover. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I like him too. I think it's correct what James said, that he does need to take a step. But again, you talk about names he volunteers. He said that he doesn't view there as like a drop-off or a second tier or whatever that includes Carter and Dennis Sutton as the top guys, and then you go down to the second string. He includes Vanover in that group. And getting to read James and when he's being polite and when he's being authentic, I got the sense that he really does think Vanover is going to play well, and they trust him to play a lot this year. It sounds that way to me.
And you also
have, and they're going to need him to, absolutely. They need that. He is critical to this defense. They really need him to stay healthy and play well.
And if they continue the use of, and Tom Allen says that he wants to play multiple people, and the defensive ends has always been a rotation where I always said in general a year ago, there were 20 starters on defense. They rotated them in, but there were 20 starters.
Sure.
And a defensive end, there was always, in my mind, four starters, and that's how they like to do it.
Yeah, and that's the trend. And again, I talked about that 05 team that got a lot of mileage running out Matt Rice and Tom Bahali at the ends and Scott Paxson and Jay Alford inside. Keep in mind also, they played a total of 12 games with their bowl. Now the team's going to play that just in the regular season. And if things go really, really, really well, they could potentially play in a Big Ten championship game and then go into a multi-game playoff situation. So you just got to manage the wear and tear on everybody's bodies, but especially the guys who are just taking all that abuse at the line of scrimmage. So it's essential that you have some kind of a rotation and you got some depth. And then of course injuries are going to be a factor. There's no question. So yeah, I think in general, I am not quite as sold on the idea that we have this great defensive line depth, but only partially because I don't know that I've seen it. Like the receiver group, the ability and the potential is there, but I got to see it on the field.
At least on the defensive side, there's a legacy of success.
Fair. It wasn't too long ago, Jim, that we were sending receivers to the NFL on the regular. So this thing could turn around. But right now, the landscape is bleak for sure.
Well, that's where I think it's fair to question it. And it was interesting you mentioned about the potential to be playing like 16, 17 games in a season,
yeah,
which seems crazy. You know, I go back to when there were 10 regular season games, Chris,
sure,
and the bowl game was your 11th. So, you know, but James Franklin actually fielded a question where he was asked about, is there a different approach now with the expanded playoffs? And when I first heard the question, I thought it was more asking about the question of, you know, targeting making the playoffs. Maybe I was wrong, but James Franklin took the question as it changes the number of games that you play. So you have to go into a season not thinking 12 or potentially 13 games. You got to be thinking potentially 14, 15, 16 games. I want to hear your response to his response when we get back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris, I'm Jim. It's quarter number three. We're talking about the Penn State Football Media Day over the weekend. James Franklin met with the press, took a lot of questions. One of the questions he was asked, Chris, was something we were just talking about, was that you've got the potential for even a 16 or 17 game season. So James Franklin did respond to prepping for that. What was your takeaway from that response?
I mean, I think it shows where his head is at, and reasonably so. He is a guy who's going to focus on what he can control, right? That's what a coach's mindset typically is. And so if you look at it from the standpoint of preparation coming in here, what can I practically get my hands around? I mean, of course, there's going to be an expectation that we make the playoffs. He talked about that at Big Ten Media Days, that Penn State is a place where if you win 10 games, people can be disappointed with the way the season went. And I think maybe sometimes that quote got taken out of context because people left off the next sentence, which was, and we embrace that. So like, that's a good problem to have, that you're at a program where a 10-win season can be disappointing, like 2023 certainly was. Of course, he's aware that the perspective has changed about how you define a successful season. But what does it mean to your day-to-day? What does it mean to your preparation? The dreaded term that's been introduced to our vocabulary by the good folks in the National Basketball Association, load management, actually, I mean, does have to be a concern for sure. And it's why they've made developing depth such a key component of the recruiting process over the last few years, because you knew this was coming down the line, that you're getting closer and closer to, versus back in the day when there was a wall NFL rookies would hit because they had only, as you said, Jim, played 10 or 11 games. And now all of a sudden they're in a 14 or 16 or now 17 going to 18 regular game or regular season. We're getting closer and closer to that in college football now.
Yeah, we're getting closer to the NFL in many ways.
Correct.
Yes. With the college football game. I do want to mention, it's interesting, and you can't just read the transcript of James Franklin's press conferences. You got to see him or hear him live to get the context of what's going on with him. And it's funny when you talked about at the Big Ten media days, when he was talking about, well, at Penn State, we're one of the schools with the expectation of winning 10 games and you can be, your fan base can be disappointed. And then he, the rest of the sentence was, well, we embrace that. When I watched him saying it, I think it was him putting that out there. It was how he really felt, like, hey, guys, we're winning 10 games. How could you be disappointed? And then I think something clicked in his head that said, I'm not sure I'm going to like how they interpret it. So I better add, we embrace the pressure.
By the way, good. One of the things I've said about James Franklin throughout his entire career is show me growth. Show me you are working to improve on your weak points. And I felt that James has been insufficiently cognizant of the way he can come across as petulant at times. And it's glommed onto by the media and it rubs fans the wrong way. And it starts taking the conversation in a direction you don't want it. So if something clicked in his brain that he said, oh, that's one that might get taken the wrong way, that's good. That's progress. That's what I want to see. The clock management has gotten better. We've gone two seasons without losing to some stupid team we had no business losing to with less talent than we have. These are signs of growth and improvement. And so if he's starting to figure out, hey, sometimes I got to be a little more aware of the brain mouth stuff going on and these press availabilities, that's a positive too.
Well, the next step in his growth, Chris, is that we'll click in before
he opens his mouth. Absolutely. Sure. Sure. But it's like he talks about with these kids in practice, Jim. You just want to see growth and then you're moving in a positive direction. A great man once said, you're either getting better or you're getting worse.
Well, so the lesson here is, Jim, just be happy. Progress is being made. He's better today than yesterday. And hopefully tomorrow he'll be even better.
And you know now, what? You do what you haven't done here yet, which is get through the regular season with one or fewer losses. And I promise you, we're all cheap dates. We'll be happy as pigs in slop. Then you won't have to worry about it.
Exactly. Win a big game, James. The other part to it is I thought James is a planner. You know, when it's like you change a rule, I mean, he'll have a plan in place for it.
Yeah.
You may not be crazy about the plan, but you know he's planned for it. He's prepared for it. And I think it's worth noting also that he did bring up also as part of the depth, and this leads to our conversation we're talking about, the young freshman defensive end, Granville, for that the young players get to play four games. And you could use that. You could plan for that as part of your depth. And he talked about even managing that. Like, if there are two freshmen in one position, I have like eight games of availability without burning a red shirt.
Sure.
You know, four games each. And he was also very quick to point out that all playoff games are then available. Four games regular season. What is the potential? Five postseason games? Potentially?
Well, I guess the maximum would be four, right? Well, I'm sorry. You could lose the conference championship game. Yeah, sure. Yeah, five. And
so theoretically, Chris, I hadn't thought about this before. You could have someone play nine games, regular season and five playoff games, and you played nine games and haven't lost your red shirt.
Which is why, going back to what I said earlier, it is going to be interesting to see who gets into the games against Bowling Green and Kent State and how willing they are to get true freshmen on the field. Because you have to think, if this is somebody that they are borderline about whether or not they're going to play them beyond four games, maybe they don't want to commit early that one of those four is you played in the fourth quarter against Bowling Green.
Right, two snaps and you had a 40-point lead. Yeah, don't blow that game there if you think you're going to need to play or later down the road. Now this is where I like James Franklin. Okay, I think he wants to stay subtle, taking jabs at people or things or institutions, but it really isn't all that subtle. when along that the same questioning about the load management, he was asked about having a tough road game as your first game and how does that modify your preparation. And he was very, very quick to point out, well, that's not something new for us. Previously, he didn't use the phrase Big Ten did this, but he was quick to point out that they had early games, first games on the road in the Big Ten with Purdue and Wisconsin, neither one of them being a walkover. It wasn't like you're going, you know, playing Northwestern or someone of that ilk. Purdue, if you remember, that game was challenging. Wisconsin, they were behind. Wisconsin on the road couldn't be looked at as a walkover game, furthest thing from that. But he did kind of put in there, yeah, we've been there, haven't we?
Well, and going back to what we just talked about with James about just because you think it doesn't mean you have to say it. Another sign of growth I really appreciated is that he did not whine and complain about opening the season against a Power Five opponent with a pulse. You remember how much complaining and moaning, again, I'm trying to watch what I say here for the radio folks, how much complaining we'll say we got about the Auburn series. It's, you know, yes. James, the fans are excited about, I don't know if you're aware about this. We really don't get amped up for Akron. Okay. Like we get excited when you play a team like Auburn or like West Virginia. So I thought the fact that he spun this as a positive, even if he was lying through his teeth, and the reality is that he is cursing whoever the athletic director was that booked this two game series with West Virginia, the fact that he had the presence of mind to not come out and say it this year, I actually appreciated that.
Well, I appreciate even more. It's funny. I'll ridicule or criticize for some snarky comments. But if the snarky comments are like against the Big Ten Conference, I'm perfectly fine with it, Chris.
Yeah.
So when he took shots at that, those road games to start the season, I appreciated it.
I've also appreciated how, and he did it again in this press conference, throughout the offseason, he's been taking some subtle jabs that are about as subtle as a jackhammer at Mike Yurcich's running of the offense last year. And it is interesting, right, Jim, that Mike has not found employment elsewhere in college football. I don't know what happened with that guy, but James has not been shy about making his displeasure known, has he?
I have it in my notes, Chris, okay? He pointed out, and I have the word again in capital letters, okay, that he pointed out once again when they asked about explosive plays, how they did stuff the last two games of last season, okay?
right.
He does everything but say, as soon as we sent Mike Yurcich packing, did you notice we had more explosive plays?
Yeah, I do think it's about time to retire that comment now. It's fine for Football Media Day, but now let's turn the page and focus on who we've got here and what we're doing for this season. I hope to not hear that comment from him again, frankly.
Well, actually, yes, it's the one that got a little bit old. Early on, I appreciated it because I was feeling the same way about that offense last year. So when we got to see it a little bit, I'm like, okay, great. That's what I was looking for. That's what we were all looking for, what we all wanted to see. And, okay, we got the point. You made the point several times, but that just feels like one that James doesn't want to let go.
Let's link two things together we've been talking about. What we just talked about now, the comment about the last two games of the 2023 season. And earlier you talked about, was he damning Julian Fleming and the wide receivers with faint praise? I do think maybe one of the other reasons why he was reserved in commenting on Fleming is that I think internally they are really hoping for a couple of guys like Trey Wallace and particularly Omari Evans to step up and take a much more prominent role in the offense this year. And you saw Evans get a lot more run those last two games. So that just, if you're thinking about him talking about the last two games, Evans is one of the names that pops right to the top of my head of somebody you saw suddenly get featured more than they had been all year. That may be one of the reasons why he wants to reserve comment on the receivers until he sees what are these guys we're hoping will take a step look like in pads over the course of a week or so.
Well, the analogy you made to the offensive line a few years ago, and if I recall correctly, I think one year even James Franklin said, look, I'm sure you're tired of hearing me say it. This is the year I think the offensive line will turn the corner. Let's wait and see. Same thing with the wide receivers. All right, we got one more quarter to go, Chris. Stick around for that.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Chris. I'm Jim. We're talking about the Penn State Media Day over the weekend on Saturday. And Chris, one last note on we've obviously been talking a lot about wide receivers. James Franklin, he talked about Julian Fleming. And I think both of us kind of agree he might be reserving too much high praise for the wide receivers. It's been a while. Let's see it on the field before we go crazy about it. But my one last note on it, and not that it was part of the press conference, but I think a lot of that wide receiver room is going to fall on Trey Wallace and how he does. Is he healthy? Because I think he's a talented enough kid. He could be your lead guy.
I think for sure that's the hope. Again, let me see it on the field, not so much what he can do. We know the talent that Harrison Wallace possesses. But when you start to develop a track record of not being able to stay on the field, the old saying availability is the best ability, that's going to be critical for Penn State this year, whether or not he can just stay healthy and have a nice season. Because if you don't have Trey Wallace out on the field, again, that changes the complexion of that receiver group substantially. And you either need somebody like a Liam Clifford or a Caden Saunders to take a big step from where they were last season and their role in the offense. Or, like I mentioned, you hope that one of these true freshmen who is coming in just now this summer is ready to step up and play a role.
Yes, but I just don't see another player in the room with the skill set that Trey Wallace has.
I agree.
So I think he is the real key. And I think if he's a dominant member of the wide receiver room, if he's the wide receiver one, it will help all the other receivers also. So to me, that's the key right there. Interesting also conversation, and James Franklin got a question on it, and Tom Allen also. The defensive backfield, specifically the cornerbacks, Chris, the reaction – initial reaction after last season was they lost not one, not two, but three NFL caliber cornerbacks. And, you know, Daquan Hardy, in my mind, was one of those starters, one of the 20 starters, if you will. He was the slot guy. He was so good last year, along with the other two cornerbacks. Your first instinct is, oh my goodness, they're starting over again at cornerback. But I think the coaching staff, head coach James Franklin, and us fans, we're pretty high on that room.
Yes. So after we made the transfer portal additions of Kimber and Harris, I think you and I talked about this even. I said it's hard to believe when you consider that we lost three NFL caliber cornerbacks off last year's team. But I don't rule out the possibility that this group could actually be a little bit better when you consider this somewhat of a down year that Kalen King had for us last season. And then to hear James come out and say that, but somewhat unprompted, I thought that's a really encouraging sign that overall the secondary, I think, is one of the strongest assets of this team on either side of the ball. And if what you suspected and hoped about the talent they've added into the program at corner is correct. You hear that validated by James Franklin like this early on, again, because all they really have had is what they've seen from these kids in the spring and a couple of unpadded practices. That gets me pretty excited.
And we talk, and even you mentioned the two big name, Kimber and Harris, who came in through the transfer portal this year from the Southeast Conference. However, there's another guy,
and
this is one of those, you know, reading the tea leaves, and it's not even make it sound like there's a mystery there. Sometimes they just talk about a certain player. Their name keeps coming up. You mentioned, like, Jamel Lyons at defensive end. The conversation about him was so constant, consistent, that you had to think, we're going to see a lot from this kid. Adavis Collins, who came in a year prior, what was it, from Mississippi State?
Mississippi State.
He reminds me so much of Johnny Dixon. Because if you remember when Dixon came in, at least I remember thinking, they're pretty particular about who they bring in the portal. There's usually a real need at the position, or you're bringing in a stud player. This seems kind of superfluous. Those were my thoughts when Johnny Dixon came in. And a year later, I'm like, well, I guess that's why they brought him in, Chris. Collins, it just has the exact same feel. When they came in a year ago, it's like, I'm not sure why they did that. Are we going to say the same thing? Am I going to say the same thing that I did about Johnny Dixon? Oh, that's why.
Well, if all the hype around him is to be believed, then the answer is yes. It seems to me like he maybe even caught the coaching staff off guard with the way he's flashed. I think James called him, if I'm remembering correctly, the most improved player overall through the offseason program. And again, just think about that. I know there was a lot of, you know, justifiable consternation about the way Penn State's pass defense looked against that high-powered Ole Miss offense in the Peach Bowl. And I've just said this over and over. I don't know. It was unfair, the position that Cam Miller and Zion Tracy and Elliott Washington, all guys I like, were put in that game. Who knows how much time they even had to prepare for the size of the role they had to play in the bowl game. And also sometimes when you've not been playing a lot of reps throughout the season, it's tough to go from being a depth guy to now, all of a sudden I'm out there and I'm essentially a starter, right? So I don't put too much stock in a single bowl game, especially just the way bowls have become less and less relevant with players opting out and everything. So I don't want to talk like the guys we had on the roster just are hopeless and we were completely boned if we didn't have anything but those three guys because they're young and they've got a lot of room to grow. But if you buy that maybe there needed to be some supplementing of the depth in the room and maybe they could turn a corner, but maybe they won't, because while I think you can explain away some of the struggles in the bowl game, you also can't forget watching those guys get toasted over and over. The fact that they brought in two SEC corners out of the portal, including AJ Harris, who I think is an absolute stud, and then another SEC kid who spent a year in the program and Audavian Collins, who they feel great about. That means, as James said, you have six cornerbacks who you feel like could potentially be Big Ten starters in your cornerback room. And then you really only need two or three of them to hit. And then maybe not even that, because you have such depth in your safety room that you can really start to get creative with the mixture of defensive backs you have on the field. So I was very optimistic about the secondary coming in, and to hear James and Tom Allen shout it out with the confidence that they did and name drop the number of guys that they did, I think makes me feel even better about it. And, you know, I think a lot of Penn State fans love to see good, tough, quality defense. And I think we're going to see that this year. There was some concern about how much drop-off we were going to get with the departure of Manny Diaz and a lot of these really talented guys to the NFL. I think we may be looking at a genuine reload versus rebuild situation on the entire defense, but especially in the defensive backfield.
I do too. In a cornerback room that I was scared when the three guys left. And I also, just a quick note on Ole Miss, and I've said this before, I think you got to give a lot of credit to the Ole Miss quarterback and receivers who just had a crazy, crazy game.
I think they're for real. I know a lot of SEC fans are kind of laughing. They're like, oh, Ole Miss, we've heard, you know, tell me again. We've heard this same old story. I think they're going to do some damage this year. I think that is a legitimately talented team that is different from some of these other Ole Miss teams over the years that have gotten hyped and couldn't get it done in the regular season. I think Lane's put himself together a pretty nice squad.
A couple other quick notes. Interesting questions about Drew Aller. You know, Drew Aller growing as a leader and all that. I'm a bit tired of that question.
Oh, how awesome is it? The show's almost over and we haven't talked about quarterbacks at all. Oh, it's glorious. It makes me happy.
Yeah, and I was pleased with James Franklin's answer where he kind of deflected that and went to the young guys, both Grunkmeyer and Jackson Smolak, who we know suffered a serious injury, but he felt pretty good about their performance. And I don't think this is Joe Paterno always had the habit of complimenting the backup quarterback, okay? Oh. And that was just
his instinct, his knee-jerk reaction,
no matter what. I think it's different with James Franklin.
Kevin Thompson versus Rashard Casey, yes. And like you'd ask him a question, and he'd talk about the third string guy. Yeah, yes. I loved it.
Yes, but you know, I think don't sleep on Chad Krell.
I think he might be able to do a few things neither of the other kids can. Oh, good stuff.
But now you have he mentioned both Grunkmeyer and Smolak. I think that was a positive because I think listening to James Franklin, it sounded legitimate.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, we're reading the tea leaves. When's he being nice? When's he really telling the truth and authentically excited about a player? He feels pretty good about those quarterbacks. And I did not get the sense like he talked about them because he was shying away from talking about, you know, Bo and Drew. And in fact, you know, he did say, I thought he said some nice things about Drew Aller and the growth that he's had. So yeah, again, kind of like the receivers, we know he can do it. At this point, you just got to show me.
And the last thing I'll mention is he was asked about players who changed physically, mentally. He mentioned, of course, everybody mentions Tony Rojas. But he also threw Timur Robinson's name out there, which was really great to hear, a really good high school player who was injured his senior year.
Yeah, I liked Timur Robinson a lot. And when we saw that Kavion Keys was not going to be part of the team, some of my friends texted me about that and said, what do you think about the linebacker depth here? And I said, don't forget Timur Robinson, who came in with Tony Rojas. Rojas splashed so quickly, I think people kind of forgot about Robinson. He got lost in the mix a little bit. But to hear James name drop him in particular, again, to me, was indicative that he is continuing to progress the way they want him to. I think we're going to see a lot of Timur Robinson this year.
And the last name that he mentioned in that grouping was Egan Boyer, the offensive tackle. I think it's just the transformation is he's put on 40 pounds, James said. And they got these tall, skinny tackles. They knew they were going to have to put weight on them. It's kind of like, okay, it seems to be working. All right, Chris, that is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.